Hey there, and welcome to the 23rd episode of the podcast from Faith UC's Dunedin, Florida. After last week's heavy podcast, we take a break and return to the Lent season. Mike McMillan reminds us in this episode to stop and smell the roses once in a while. Release yourself from the hurry of life. And sometimes a grasshopper is just a grasshopper. Let's first hear some good news the church received this week.
Churches that met the criteria of spiritually enriching community, vibrant worship, social justice warriors, fully LGBTQ inclusive, and actively inviting people into Christian belonging. The only church in Florida that made this top 100 awesome church list.
We leave behind the world of home and work and school, the world where we have our lists of things to do, activities to participate in, tasks to complete. We come here this morning seeking something else. We come here seeking a shift from the ordinary to the sacred, from doing to being. I invite you to close your eyes. Let go of your list. Recall that it is the season of Lent. Remember the parable of the sower. The sower throws the seed, and where it lands determines if it will grow or not grow. Think of it this way. Think of the season of Lent as the sower, the time when the seeds of faith are thrown with special intensity, as a time when God calls us with a quiet yet urgent voice. Listen, Jesus is being drawn to Jerusalem. Where is God calling you? Our second scripture passage comes from the poet Mary Oliver and her poem called The Summer Day. In this poem, Oliver asks some deep and probing questions while reminding us how simply amazing this world we live in really is. The summer day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who is gazing around her with enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
So it happened to me one afternoon many years ago as I made my way through the Kenai Fjords National Park in Alaska on this long hike, one of those hikes where I had literally my entire life's belongings with me on my back as I was living in and traveling through Alaska. I was a young man trying to find myself in the great outdoors, and I did a lot of hiking. Believe it or not, I did a lot of hiking, but this one particular day, I will never forget. I'd already broken cardinal rule number one and gone off on a multi-day hike all by myself. You were always encouraged, especially in the mountains of Alaska, to go in groups, but I wanted to be alone. My soul was yearning for some time to just go and just think and just be. And so off I went. And I remember beginning the hike on this particular trail, walking along the glacial colored waters of the Kenai River. I put a picture of it up here. And just being mesmerized and awestruck by the soft, incandescent emerald glow of the gentle rivers that ebbed and flowed alongside of me. I remember the looming towers of slender Kenai birch trees, as they were called, white as snow, and the thick multi-green hued pine trees that just filtered the sunlight above me and sent it splintered through the canopy overhead, allowing just enough, a little bit, to reach the forest floor. I remember the peace and the tranquility of that trail, the only sounds being a breaking the still air coming from my breath, my footsteps, and the bear bell that I wore for safety. I began eventually to leave the beauty of that river and that mesmerizing flowing water as the trail began to weave its way up the side of a high fjord, basically a small mountain. I climbed that fjord for what seemed like days up a rocky and unkept trail until I emerged at the top. And I walked out of this sanctuary of the pine trees and out into the vastness of the world before me. I will never, ever forget this moment as my senses just went into overload at the sight in front of my eyes. My breath just drew gasps of spiritual delight. For before me, bathed in sunlight, was just this vast field of fireweed. Have you ever seen fireweed? With pinks so vibrant and alive that the whole field appeared to just be on fire. Now that field of fire extended out hundreds of yards down a slope and eventually unfolded into a wide valley off in the distance. And surrounding the valley were these huge mountains and more thick forests and rivers and pristine lakes that offered a mirrored reflection of all of the beauty that was surrounding them. And it was just simply amazing. It was amazing. I stood there awestruck and speechless. I don't know who I would have talked to. I was alone, but I was speechless. For this was nothing short of the greatest spiritual experience of my life. And for the first time in my life, on this day, in this remote land, in those fields of fire, it happened. I woke up to God. I woke up to God, and my life has never, ever been the same. True story. I have a feeling that's how it was today for Jesus in our reading that Amy did for us today. He woke up to God in a big way as he came up out of that river, as he was baptized by John, and as he arose from the river, the cool waters of the Jordan dripping off him like rain, his whole being shifted. You heard it. He sensed life would never be the same. He saw with new eyes the world around him and then gave his whole life towards telling people about that vision and that experience where he calls the kingdom of God. Now, theology has distorted and done a real disservice to Jesus over time as he has been twisted to become this or that based on a time's particular agendas and whims. But this story shows us the essence of who Jesus was. These words are, after all, the earliest words of Jesus we have from any gospel. The Gospel of Mark was written before anything else we currently possess about Jesus' actual life. And the author chose to introduce Jesus to us in a moment of grand awakening that was so powerful that he immediately began to proclaim that the kingdom of God was near, imminent, intimate, and unfolding all around us. That's how the author chose to introduce Jesus to us for the first time. And like others before him, Moses in front of a blazing bush, Jacob under the stars on the river Jabbok, Job in front of the whirlwind, Jesus too woke up to God. And from that point on, his life would never, ever be the same. That's what this season that we journeyed into last week, Lent, is all about, my friends. In such busy lives, all of this to do and all of that to do, Lent grasps us and just invites us to stop, to pause, even if just for 40 days, to look at our lives and the world through new lenses and accept the invitation to just be changed. Lent is not about feeling guilty, as many of you were raised with that feeling. It's not about feeling guilty. It's not about giving things up, but about opening our eyes to the God moments that are literally unfolding all around us. If Jesus taught us anything, well, this is it. Lent is about living as though we are coming up out of the water like he did long ago and feeling changed by the experience so much that our lives take on a new path and a new direction. I guess that's why I love this season. I really do. I love this season. I find such mystery in it because through intentional experiences of waking up to the wonder of the world around me through awe and reverence, well, then I truly wake up to this essence that we name God in more and more powerful ways. And I feel so intensely the presence of God in my very being, in my breathing, in the beat of my own heart. And this allows me then to see that same presence in others, all of you, and in the world around me. Lent is about this kind of awareness. And my hope is that you, each of you, can take some time to practice that kind of awareness as well, to both reflect on times when you have had that kind of experience that can only be defined as holy or ecstatic or a thin time, when you recognize that God was absolutely a part of the very fabric of your being, and cultivate new experience and cultivate new experiences that can also only be described as breathtaking. I know you've all had them, right? You've had them. We all do. We just need to cultivate the practice of waking up to them, to recognize them as a calling to live into the world and the God experience in deeper and deeper ways, until we, with the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, can truly see the world is indeed charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. I love that. When we can live that intentionally, my friends, we will see in a new way, and we too will be changed. I guess that's why I love that poem from Mary Oliver. The summer's day. Don't call it a summer's day, because she will yell at you. You have to call it the summer day. Now, it is a timeless classic that asks some simple yet incredibly complex questions of us. First, it calls us to look deeply, deeply into the world and not dismiss the simple, apparently ordinary things, for laden within those are nothing short of the miraculous. That's what she's telling us. For Oliver, in his well-known poem, it happens to be a grasshopper. The grasshopper. Now, I was listening to an interview with her, and she was talking about this poem and talking about how so many people think she was using the grasshopper generally to make a bigger point. And she said, no. If you've ever listened to her, she's very frontal. She's very, no, that's wrong. This was a real moment, she said, a real grasshopper that flung itself onto her hand to join her in eating sugar from the cake she was enjoying from the birthday party of a Portuguese woman who had just turned 90. Mrs. Segura was her name. Her point is clear. Look deeply into the world and you will bear witness to a continual divine unfolding of the miraculous in the world occurring around you in all times, especially in those little moments that seem so ordinary. Miracles happen all the time in the moments that we call ordinary. I love that about her poem. Reminds me of Jesus imploring us to not miss the lilies of the fields, right? Or the birds of the air, or the joy of a wedding celebration, or the quiet solitude of a mountain and garden, to just to seek some stillness in simple human moments loaded, dripping with holiness. Second, this poem also asks some profound questions of us. Like Lent, it reminds us of the fleeting nature of life. We say during Lent what? We said, from stardust you came, and to stardust you will return. That's a universal truth, right? Can't get around that. Death and taxes, right? The only two things that exist. From stardust you came, and to stardust you will return. Oliver says the same thing in different words, except she asks, doesn't everything die at last and too soon? And then having reminded us of the fleeting nature of life, she challenges us to live that fleeting life in the fullest sense. I want you to think about this question she asks. It's so profound. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What is it? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Life is fleeting. You will pass away, as all things do. So how are you going to live it? That's the ultimate question of Lent, and one I hope you will wrestle with this season and beyond. Again, Lent is not just about 40 days. It's about transformation for the rest of your life as well. And each year we are invited to participate in it yet again. I guess going back to those fields that were exploding with that fireweed as I emerged from the Alaskan woods so long ago, I see that now in hindsight as my own kind of coming up out of the water, like Jesus' moment, like he had in that flowing river long ago. Just everything changed. Like Jesus, everything was different. Like Jesus, I was changed. Like Jesus, I began to see the world as the realm of God like I never had before. My religious upbringing did not instill that in me. I had to have those experiences to figure that out. And as I said earlier, I know you have those moments as well. And it may take some reflection to realize that a particular moment for you was really that kind of moment, but I know they are there, waiting for you to rediscover them. I also know that like Jesus did in his own time, more and more of those moments still await you. They still await you. Jesus, after all, didn't just recognize the kingdom of God in that moment and then move on, did he? No, it was just a start. He later saw the kingdom in a woman at the well, or he saw it unfold at dinner parties amongst all sorts of diverse people, or he glimpsed it in an intimate meal with friends. He felt it on hillsides with hungry crowds or in a boat with frightened disciples. He saw it in the eyes of one who turned back to say thank you. He saw it again and again and again, and each time he was changed by it. That's how we are called to live, my friends. I hope this Lent and beyond is that you can live as though you are dripping with the waters of the River Jordan as you arise anew and glimpse the world like Jesus did years ago. My hope is that you can live with awe and reverence and honest recognition of the fleetingness and the preciousness of life that Mary Oliver calls you to. My hope is that you can let go. Just let go. Trust that you are living amidst the realm of God, even in the toughest of times. Jesus lived some pretty tough times in his own life, didn't he? This we know. But he never stopped seeing the realm of God unfolding around him right until the very end of his own fleeting life, and dare we say beyond. Be changed this Lenten season, my friends. Allow yourself to dwell in the mystery. Be confident that you are an intricate part of it, for that's when we truly begin to wake up to God. Amen.